Before beginning this episode, we want to pay our deepest and utmost respects to a titan in our community who recently transitioned. Our homie, Bad Bitch Brigader, and one half of the Queer Walk podcast, Nikita Slade, passed away last week. Nikita was a sharp, insightful, hilarious person and podcaster, and we are so grateful to have been in community with her. It's fitting that we're hosting this episode, Akula. Remember that time that we met Nikita for the first time when we did, what was it called? The Smash the Homies episode with Money.
Yes.
And Money bought Nikita. This is before Nikita was even on the Queer Walk podcast. And Money bought Nikita kind of as like emotional support podcasting friend.
Yeah.
Nikita was just like in the back, like, like just like throwing like slight shade
at Money. Yes.
To all of Money's. like hoe stories and stuff like that, and we were just like, okay, so Nikita has all the tea low key,
you know.
And after meeting her that one time, I just remember being so excited to hear that, I think it was like a couple of months later, but time is a construct, but hearing that she was gonna then be co-hosting Queer Walk with Money, like just being so fucking excited, like this is a perfect duo,
the banter, like, the
like it's there,
dynamic, it was there,
this is gonna be so fun. And then still not having known too much about Nikita at the time, it was just amazing to, like, Queer Rock was already a good podcast, like Money was doing the motherfucking thing, but just seeing the level that it went to after Nikita joined and how much of a different show it was, and every week you were just being schooled on like communism, socialism, like
the history,
labor organizing,
so
Nikita's loss is a big one, and her presence will be so deeply, deeply missed. I want to read a short obituary for her that her co-host and our homie, who we love so much, Money, wrote on Instagram. So it reads, we celebrate our brilliant sister, dear friend, comrade, haiku poet, and Lisa's only baby, Nikita A.T. Slade. Nikita is our hilarious, self-proclaimed curmudgeon, a Black woman in the trades, Texas-raised organizer, worker of and for the world, and proud proletariat Black feminist. She's a lover of Luther Vandross, Fleetwood Mac, Dolly Parton, and Bruce Springsteen. She is a Tia, beloved girlfriend, an original BLM Syracuse member. She is one of the machetes. She is all of these things and so much more. She is loved and she will be missed. Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one Black, non-monogamous, pansexual feminist ho who lives in New York City, who is very, very close to opting out of the binary that is gender, but whose pronouns are she and her. Do I say anything else after that?
I don't remember.
I don't know. But that's how I'm feeling right now. More on that later.
And Akua, your favorite demisexual mental health professional, who is now a part of the Double Dose Pfizer gang. What's up? I'm vaxxed, waxed, ready to hit it. All right. Pronounce
what you hitting over there?
I don't know yet, but we'll find out soon.
Pfizer gang gang. Yeah, double Pfizer gang gang. I'm also out here, but not really, because you have to wait 2 weeks before you're fully vaccinated. Every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This episode, we're taking a trip to Twangland. Find out what that means later. Plus, we're speaking about probiotics in the poom poom, the diagnoses of a rare mood disorder, and what it looks like to have a solar, aka holer. Return.
And if you'd like to follow along on the conversation with the conversation had on this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag #InnerHoeUprising so we can see it and the hashtag #Podin so other people can see it. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at @InnerHoeUprising without the G on Twitter, at @InnerHoeUprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can also join our Facebook group by searching InnerHoeUprising Community. That is CUMMUNITY. And you can head to InnerHoeUprising.com to pay a hoe.
If you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, Black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show in like a week from now, or if you want us to pay us to speak in person because people have vaccines now, at your school or conference about sex positivity, Black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, or if you'd like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating workshop for your organization, we would love to. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. First segment, favorite intro, hit it.
Grandma, yeah. Are you a hoe?
Speaking of hoes on Instagram, you see Melissa out here in fucking Cancun or wherever she is on Instagram. Just being a bad bitch grandma.
I think she's in Tulum.
I think she said Playa del Carmen when she was on her episode.
I don't know.
She's just living a bad bitch life.
I aspire.
Right, exactly. But vaccinated, though, so that's the
important thing. So
Hoe of the Week is where we shout out homies who have supported Inner Hoe Uprising the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. This week, we got Sam E., a.k.a. Namesis, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Dallas H., a.k.a. Stripped Away, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Slutty Ghost, whose real name is Hex, but they wrote in as Slutty Ghost, and their nickname will be Slutty Ghost now, who paid a hoe. We got Rome, a.k.a. Jerome's in the house. I said Jerome's in the house. Who upped their pledge on Patreon. We got Summer K, a.k.a. Solstice, who became a patron on Patreon. And we got Nense Kone, who featured us in their article in The Guardian called Good Vibrations, 5 of the Best, emphasis on best, sex podcasts for your oral pleasure. And Nense wrote, that's a fact. Nense wrote, Inner Hoe Uprising is a podcast by a rotating group of 420-something Black queer people living in New York that is dedicated to sex, love, and dating in different parts of the U.S. They talk about plenty of sex, but also how the Black experience varies from person to person. For example, one of their most recent guests talked about moving to Tucson, Arizona, and how they face challenges in their personal life due to being in a predominantly white town. Shout out to Carlin, niggas. There is also a current affairs segment called Fuck That, which brings awareness to issues pertaining to sex, love, gender, and race, among others. Some of the most recent topics covered include the trans bills passed in Florida, banning trans athletes, and the self-proclaimed sexual addict shooter, quote unquote, involved in the Atlanta spa shootings. Thank you for recognizing our work, Nense. Thank you. Please read the rest of Nense's article, which you can find at the link in the show notes. I didn't come up with a nickname for Nense, though. I just didn't know what to do. I was just so happy that we were featured in this article. So
that's fine.
Yes, thank you.
So I want to shout out Dr. Wendasha. Did not come up with a nickname for Dr. Wendasha, but I was recently featured on her podcast, Sensible Sex with Dr. Wendasha, and it is episode 2, Misadventures in Black Millennial Motherhood. I, Dr. Wendasha, and I believe Dr. Brittany, just in the presence of such accomplished Black women, sat together and talked about the different faces of Black millennial motherhood and our different avenues into motherhood, our different struggles into motherhood, and how Black millennial mamas are pioneering the way, as always.
Yes.
So you guys can listen to that. Sam will link that in the show notes as well. Also want to shout out, I was featured on the Bag Ladies, the BBB, and we did a very fun subset of the demisexuals of the BBB, because we're like 1/3 of
clicks
us niggas.
Within clicks, yeah.
Exactly. So I was featured. Oh, I don't remember the name of that episode, Sam. Help me.
All Baggage All the Time with Akua and Jay, colon, being demisexual.
Yes. And it was a Stephanie, Jay from Tea with Queen and Jay, and of course Lena, and we talked about our trials and tribulations and experiences as demisexuals navigating this very sexual world.
Yes, and it was good. I only listened to half of it so far, but it was very good and it was insightful.
It was a very fun time. It felt like a warm hug. Like, aww, they would talk and I'm just like, yes, you get it.
It's nice to see niggas affirming each other.
Yes. Oh, it was so good. So good.
And that will also be in the show notes for this episode. So if you would like to be a hoe of the week and get a cool nickname of your own, you can do a couple of things. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can feature us in an article you've written, like in The Guardian, for example, or shout us out on social media. These are some non-monetary ways you can support us. We love monetary and non-monetary support, and we understand that in these uncertain times, monetary support is not feasible for many folks. Please do not spend your last dollars on us. Put you and yours first. Put you yours and yours is yours first, even. Like, there's a whole succession of people who should get money before us. But if you can spare some change, you can donate to us on PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or become a patron by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising, the links to which are in the show notes. Also, a reminder that if you do become a patron on Patreon, for $2 a month, you can participate in things like our Slack chat and our patron-only film nights. And for $5 a month, you can join our Monday night Zoom hangouts. And at any Patreon tier, you can receive access to our episodes a few days early, entry to our workshops and parties, and entry to our pre-episode hangouts, where it's always a good time. What did we learn this week? We learned that there was a porn company that donated all of its doctor nurse porn PPE to actual doctors. Doctors. Like, you don't
come on now.
You don't learn about that anywhere else. Shout out to JP for that. Yeah. Except for in the hangouts. Okay. We are going to get into another segment now. This segment is called Fuck Is This? And this is what we do to introduce it.
Oh my god, what is that? Oh my god, what is that?
I love that. So what is that today? Because that's the reaction I had.
So today we are reading a tweet from @Gio_Sinatra SLV.
So the handle is already a signal that some fuck shit is to come. Why are there so many goddamn letters in that goddamn ad?
Like, what does that even mean? All right. Nonetheless. And they wrote, if the pussy a little twangy on the 6th link after you've been unfunky the first 5 links, I'm okay with that. But no way you taking me to twang land on 1st link. Bitch, get out of my house.
Wait, not your dramatic reenactment of it. That was pretty good, Akua. Akua got one voice acting job.
And that's and now it. She's tell me or my baby nothing. We voice actors over here. Our rates are in the link in my bio. Don't play with me.
I'm dead. Okay.
But apparently, we are not allowed to take niggas to twanglang on the first twangland on the first link. And I just have nigga, what?
He made a lot of, or they made a lot of words here. Unfunky. He's like, okay.
Twangy. Let's start with twangy.
Twangy, unfunky.
Unfunky. Twangland.
It's a progression. I want
to go to Twangland. It sounds like an amusement park that I need to be on. Like, I need to visit.
I would spend some time in Twangland.
It sounds like the signature drink is called the Twang. It's a Mountain Dew-esque kind of soda. A little lemony, a little tart. It's a little tart, right?
It's the McDonald's Sprite.
Oh, no, that hit you in the back of the throat.
Kick me in my chest. God damn.
Now, I laugh at this, but we know underneath it, this is just body shaming.
Rooted in, yes, some
this is rooted in, you know, misogyny, femphobia, you know, hatred of the vagina.
Yes, yes.
You know, if if the pussy's a little twangy, all you have to do is tell me. I'll go rinse it out and over the toilet real quick. We come back, you know? That's it. It takes...
Be an adult about it, you know?
Be an adult about it. I would never be upset if I was told there's a little odor. Because I need that reminder. Obviously, I did a sniff test before I got here. I thought everything was okay before I got here. So obviously, there's something to... There's something that... It's beyond my recognition. Thank mm-hmm. you. Point it out so I can get the attention and the care I need. Care mm-hmm. about my health.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah.
Like, care about my health. Don't put me out.
Also, you know, make it a little bit sexy. You know, it doesn't just have to be like, bitch, you and Twang Man, go to the shower. Here's a rag. No, I'm just kidding. These niggas probably won't even give you a rag. Anyway.
They will not give you a just rag.
Like, yeah, let's shower together or something like that. Ooh, you know, pull out your Melissa tricks.
We got Yeah.
Oh, you're not a shower together kind of person. I'm not. Are you want to be wiped down?
Ooh, no. Well, maybe. I mean, I like to be wiped down after. I don't know about before. Before, I might feel away.
Okay. Whatever, you know, sex is a case-by-case basis. So whatever is breaking down in wherever the fuck you are, it's not always a bedroom, then that is to be. I would say, like, there's no need to be rude about it.
Or to make it seem like I tried to kill you with my coochie. He act like she done came over with poison darts and hug in the vulva. Like, I don't understand.
I do also think, like, as with case by case basis, what does that mean, Sixth Link? You know, because, like, were we out? Was there a night on the town before? Because at some point, you got to expect all genitals to be twangy because that's what bodies do.
Like, so, do not think we went hiking and this shit about to be powder fresh, my nigga.
Exactly. Like, it's the false expectations of pussy like water in the words of Plies, a.k.a. Kirk Franklin. Those niggas look alike, son. Why is that? That's one of the anomalies of the universe. Yeah. Like, fuck those niggas.
Talk about
so much
a doppelganger, okay? Like, y'all know y'all look like. And such different personalities and career trajectories. It's just like, okay.
Oh, boy. But yeah.
And why is it okay after, you know, the first five links? Why is it okay then?
I am curious about his threshold and barometer for this. Like, what if it was after 3.5 links? You know, like, you smash, y'all go to sleep, you wake up, then it's twangy? Like, is that okay?
Is that an issue?
What's the cutoff point for twangy?
What is it?
We gotta ask this nigga.
No. But yes. Okay, we're going to Twangland. I'm going to Twangland.
I will fully start that amusement park. That sounds like a fun time. Okay. Shall we move on to the next segment?
Yes, we should.
Okay. Big, big shout out to the homie Wave Ghost for the wonderful vibes and the music. All right, this is Self-Care Tip of the Week, the segment where we give you some tips on how to care for yourself and your twangy-ass pussy, apparently. What are we talking about this week, Akua?
So, we here at the Hinoa Uprising want you to know that there is nothing wrong with a twangy pussy.
Yes.
But sometimes a twangy pussy can mean something serious. Right? And we are here... We here promote self-care.
We believe in being healthy inside and out.
Ha ha.
If you want, also. We believe in choice.
Do what
you want. If you want a twangy pussy, I am also full supportive of that, nigga.
So we will be talking about probiotics for gut health and vaginal health, as well as mood. Mood a little bit later down the road. And the disclaimer is, Sam.
The advice given in this segment is general advice and no way meant to replace or serve as the advice of a medical or mental health professional. Who is a therapist, but not your therapist.
Yeah. Nor am I a dietitian, a gynecologist, the nothing, Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, so how I got to this. So I've been doing a lot of research into probiotics because the internets, the Googles were throwing them my way. The subliminal advertisements was like, let's get this in your brain so you gonna buy it. And my brain said, what? Sure. Yeah. So, but before I buy things, I research them because I like to know what the fuck I'm doing and what I'm going to be ingesting. So mm-hmm. I started doing a lot of research into probiotics as a way to hack my immune system to better protect myself from COVID. You know, some people were ingesting Lysol. I said, maybe let's try probiotics. You know, let's see.
Let's take a few steps back. Let's not go 100. You know.
I also knew, you know, in passing and in different research that there is a link between healthy gut microbes and depression. Not saying that your depression is there because your gut is unhealthy. Nope, that's not it. And because my OBGYN, we got a contentious relationship, y'all.
Yeah.
But one thing that I always remember that also set me off about her is that whenever I go in for my pap smear, she would make a comment about the quantity of my discharge, but would never tell me if it was an issue. It was always like, oh, there's a lot of discharge here. Let's see what's up. And then nothing would come up. And I guess that's where she would leave it. But I remember, and this was triggered because y'all remember I hadn't seen her in a while. So when I had that first examination in January, she made the same comment and it stuck in my head. Like, why you keep saying that?
Is it gynecologist be rude as fuck? Did I ever tell you about the one who laughed at my yeast infection?
No. I feel like I've heard that story, but what?
I think I came in because I thought I had a yeast infection, but I wasn't sure. And she, like, you know, went in there and pulled out all the fucking yeast because it was on full blast. And she was like, woof, yeah, you got a yeast infection. And there was, like, a physician's assistant in there, too. And they, like, kikied over how much yeast was in my vagina.
See, no, I just don't need this.
Like, bitch, we can square up right now. Okay?
They really want to fight us. I don't understand.
Yeah.
So that had been sitting in the back of my mind. And then here comes Google and you know, the internet girls saying, mm-hmm. you need this product. No, I don't. So I went into a deep dive about, you know, on that. And here is what I've learned that has been very beneficial for me. Mm. Again, for Akua, mm-hmm. and wanted to share with the community because that's what cool. I do.
Cool, let's hear it.
So it is true that, like your vagina, the digestive tract has a lot of beneficial bacteria and other microorganisms. There are more than 50 different species of tiny organisms called microbes living inside of your vagina if you own one. Many of those microbes are a type of bacteria called, Sam, get in here and pronounce this word.
Lactobacilli.
That's what Sam said. That's what it is.
Let me double check on this nigga Google real quick, though.
Lactobacilli.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Google.
So, yeah, many of the microbes are called lactobacilli, and these bacteria help keep the vagina healthy and free of infection. A lack of lactobacilli and an overgrowth of some other microbes can cause an imbalance in the vagina, which may take you to twang land.
Mm-hmm.
So an imbalance can happen for a number of reasons, including but not limited to unprotected penetrative sex or sometimes protected penetrative sex if you have sensitivities to latex, experiencing changes in your hormones, your menstruation, and poor hygiene habits. And that vaginal imbalance can result in many, but not all, or maybe none of this: a fishy odor, smell, a discharge, discomfort in the vaginal vulva area, and itching in the vaginal vulva area.
Mm-hmm. Also, I want to add like a little addendum to poor hygiene habits, because
mm-hmm.
like it could just be like sitting in sweat because you're driving home from the gym or something like that, or you're driving home from the basketball court. Actually, so it's not necessarily like poor. It's just like, damn, I couldn't. Or like, let's say you're like a houseless person or something like that. I wouldn't consider that poor hygiene habits. Just like, couldn't wash up, nigga. Damn.
Insufficient hygiene access?
Sure. Let's do that.
But also, because what some people might think are good hygiene habits are not. Like people douching with antiseptics, please don't. People using harsh soaps on the vulva can also throw off, you know, your vaginal
flora.
Can't
be putting Dial soap on that pussy.
You cannot be putting Dial soap on a pussy. No. And some people think those are actually good hygiene habits. So thank you.
Don't put powder in your panties.
do not be powdering the pussy. We don't do it no more.
Yeah. That just straight up causes ovarian cancer, unfortunately.
So, yeah. So, I thank you for that, Sam, because even what people think are good hygiene habits are not. Mm-hmm. Or may not be. So when it comes to vaginal health, there are some gynecological issues, namely what I'll be talking about, BV and yeast infections, that are thought to be caused by an imbalance of bacteria in the vagina. BV, or bacterial vaginosis, is one of the most common vaginal infections for people with vaginas, and it's not thoroughly studied and the causes are not really known, but it's associated with an overgrowth of harmful microorganisms such as Gardnerella vaginalis, or Prevotella. That sounds like a hazelnut spread, bitch, like a pecan spread.
Can I put some Prevotella on this?
Like, come on now. And basically, these harmful microorganisms will outnumber the healthier types of vaginal bacteria and lead to BV. Also, vaginal yeast infections can also stem from an imbalance. And unlike BV, the problem is that a fungus called Candida overcomes the healthy bacteria in the vaginal tract. So in theory, when it comes to recurrent BV, we'll talk about that because yeast infections actually have to be treated by like an antifungal. Mm-hmm. Type of treatment. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to recurrent bacterial vaginosis, the thinking is that introducing more helpful lactobacilli might protect against the overgrowth of harmful organisms and consequently reduce recurrent infections. Lactobacillus acidophilus. Science is a funny thing.
These words.
But it's all doctors.
It's all fucking Latin.
Okay. Lactobacillus acidophilus is the most researched strain of probiotic when it comes to establishing and maintaining a healthy vaginal balance. Other two important strains include Lactobacillus rhamnosus. That sounds like a dinosaur. Rhamnosus and Lactobacillus Ruteri.
These are Harry Potter spells. Fun fact. Like,
fuck J.K. Rowling. Pussy, like. Right. So I give you those two strains. My tip is I've been for the past 4 months been taking a probiotic supplement. I didn't know if I could say the brand, but I'm going to say it, Sam, unless you feel.
I would say don't say the brand. Just say what it is, if possible. Is that possible?
No.
Okay, then say the brand. But just know that we don't sponsor these niggas. And if you think about paying them, pay us also.
Exactly. So I've been personally taking the Love Wellness brand probiotics, which they called, unfortunately, Good Girl Probiotics or something like that. And what irritated me is that they had very gender neutral language all around, like on their website, in their vernacular, but then are going to name a mainstream product Good Girl Pro, you know, whatever, for people with vaginas. Like on the bottle, it says this is for people with vaginas. If you're going to say people with vaginas, I had to write them a strongly worded email, y'all. I did, because it sat wrong with me for a really long time. I was like, y'all need to.
Did they respond back?
No.
I think that whilst it kind of reminds, this is a big old tangent, but it reminds me of like what they're trying to do with all these fucking trans bills and stuff like that. Whilst the company itself may be like, oh, we understand that vagina doesn't equal girl, blah, blah, blah. They might be catering to a very particular kind of feminine person who is toxic and internally misogynistic, who might really want to consume something called Good Girl because they want to be a quote unquote good girl. That might be upping their sales.
I don't like it. So
me neither. Just
but I'm taking it. And after I finish it, I'll probably switch to something else because I just don't like buying it. It really, really sat wrong with me, y'all. So that is the probiotics I'm taking, but there are others such as Ray Wellness Vaginal Balance or Ollie's Happy Hoo-Ha or the Garden of Life, which I think is a vegan product. Well, I think all of this should be vegan. No, I think it's a vegan product and I think I'm going to be switching to that brand. I'll let y'all know if I do. So yeah, my tips is to take a probiotic daily, but also increase your ingestion of food heavy with probiotics. Hint, hint, yogurt. If you read the names of the, well, one, read the ingredients of anything that you ingest. So I know the names of the strains of the things in the probiotics. But also, when you read the ingredients of your yogurt, the first thing that pops up is Lactobacillus acidophilus. I was like, look at it. Look. Do not go shoving yogurt up your coochie. Because I actually saw a TikTok that was like, hey, if you have a yeast infection, I was like, see, this ain't it.
Y'all. I have heard of that also.
Please do not go sticking yogurt up your vaginal
particularly fat. If it's flavored yogurt.
Oh, yes. No. Like that, the sugar feeds the yeast. We're hurting ourselves here. But ingesting it orally, yes. Is good for your gut, good for your health, but also kimchi if you're, you know, into Korean foods, sauerkraut if you're into German foods. Cutting back your sugar intake or added sugar intake can help in increasing the flora of the digestive tract, but also the vaginal tract. And what I've also noticed helped me with this amount of discharge that may have been a very low grade BV, but nobody just caught it. Mm-hmm. Is hydration. The more water I drink, not the drier my coochie is, but the less discharge there is, you know, depending on where I am in my cycle. I also track my cervical fluid because I like to know what's going on in there. But
was it like a strange discharge or was it a lot of discharge?
It was a lot of discharge. I felt like my vagina was over cleaning itself.
Okay, so like more and, than you're used to? Because I feel like a lot of discharge brings us into some problematic territory. Because what is a lot?
Mm-hmm. This was more discharge than I was used to. And like when I am in a regular pace like now, I'm pretty much good in the self-cleaning unless I've masturbated or my period's about to come. Then it starts like, it runs like a dishwasher. That's how I can like describe my vagina. But before it just be there all month long. We just at the beginning to the end. I'm like, it didn't bother me. You know, wasn't a strong odor or itchy or anything that felt like I should see a medical professional about this. But the comment from my OBGYN made me a bit self-conscious. But now, like now that I'm in a groove of things, I'm like, I can definitely tell the difference.
Cool.
And cool. What my vagina is pushing out. And I think it goes into over cleaning when it's dry. It's like we need to clean and lubricate ourselves. And I'm like, this, all right, girl, my bad. I'll drink some water, damn.
Remember that SpongeBob episode where Sandy fucking put this nigga in like a no water space? And he was like, water.
Water. That's my pussy. That's her. She just be like, help.
Not a SpongeBob pussy.
Okay, so that is my self-care tip. Yes. Try some probiotics, cut back on some sugar, and see if it helps you feel any much better.
I fuck with it, and let us know, because then a nigga a pussy just falls out and you write a strongly worded email to it.
Ooh.
And then we gotta retract some statements, so
yes.
However it goes, I don't foresee that happening, but however it goes, let us know. IHGpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for that tip, Akua. You know what's just as important as keeping your body healthy inside? Keeping your mind healthy, which is like really, really inside. Like that's some meta shit. And to that point, I ask, is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Let's face it, life can really suck major ass, man. And not the good kind of ass sucking, the bad kind. That's the kind of ass sucking that can be detrimental to your mental health. For me, something that really helps when the ass begins to suck is my favorite online therapy service, BetterHelp. Really worked hard on that intro. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Plus, you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line or self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account at any time and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp, along with we here at the Inner Ho Uprising, want you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Also visit betterhelp.com/IHU, that's Better H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Inner Ho Uprising listeners get 10% off their first month by going to betterhelp.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising. That's betterhelp.com/IHU. Now, let's go into another segment. I got situations, my love, but you can still come through. Everything's on deck. Nigga, we and the crew. We could do what we do. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love the party on the weekend. She love the party on the weekend. They do love to party on the weekend.
Sure do.
Yes. This segment is called Fuck Me. It is the segment about our sexual, romantic, and or dating lives. And today we're talking about someone's holer return, cyclothymia and probiotics. Akua, what's going on? I am interested.
So I decided to update the people on what's happening with Akua. Mm-hmm. So really, I've been feeling really good. Yes. Just positive, invigorated, excited to re-enter the dating world after my, you know,
past. Cool, got a lineup of like 10 motherfuckers.
Nah, it actually is too many niggas. Like, one day I was so overwhelmed. I was like, oh, y'all want a response? Harry? I don't got it.
You're like, who the fuck? I don't remember that name.
There are no names. They're just numbers. So, bitch, do you know how confused I be?
Your iPhone doesn't have the maybe function? Like, maybe this is this nigga?
If we mentioned each other's name in a text, it'll pop up. Or if they have, like, a
iCloud account?
I don't know how science works. I don't know how
an iCloud account?
Work.
I think that if they're, I don't know, because I'd be deleting niggas who I hate from my phone, and iPhone is like, is this person? I'm like, I never want to see that name ever fucking again.
Yes, that happens. That actually happens with my baby daddy. It's like, maybe, like, yes, bitch, it's him.
Not
like,
you saying like, his name.
You could bleep
no,
that
I
up.
Gotta cut it out.
Sorry. But yes, so no, it doesn't do that for some people, and that just trips me up. And I'd be tired. It's too many of these niggas. They all want responses. I ain't got it sometimes. Mm-hmm. But yes, yeah, so I've been feeling really good. I haven't feeling like this since my first whole phase in 2015. Mm-hmm. And I remember me and said baby daddy had just broken up. I was ready to hit the streets and figure it out. We had been together since I was like 13, so like I was ready to be out here with these niggas. Mm-hmm. Quickly, sadly disappointed, but was very, very excited. And I am again excited and also disappointed, but still excited. still excited.
Okay.
A part of what has helped me get to this space is antidepressants. So my good co-host Rodecky talked about their history, diagnosis, and experience with bipolar disorder. I am here to say I too am a bipolar hoe.
It's gang gang out here.
Gang gang. and what I have been diagnosed with is actually cyclothymic disorder. So it is on the bipolar spectrum where I cycle or, you know, oscillate between hypomanic symptoms and depressive symptoms, but neither qualify for a full hypomanic episode or a full depressive episode. This, I, as a therapist who should not be self-diagnosing, but did self-diagnose, had known about this for a while. I want to say like about 2016, 17, was kind of cycling and noticing it, but like really noticed it in 2018 after the all day, all night party, actually. Mm-hmm. Like I had so much energy, you know, so much to put into it. And then I remember driving on the way home and I was like, I am going to crash. Mm-hmm. And surely did, and was depressed for like 7 days after. Like it was just down. And then that was where I was like, oh, okay, something's going on. Did I look for help then? Of course not. Because, you know, do we ever? No. So that continued. I learned to, like, be more cognizant of my cycling and to implement more self-care things that could prop me up or, you know, be mindful of my behavior during my hypomanic episodes. But then COVID happened and it was like, fuck you and your self-care and the set that you claim. Like, fuck it all. Like, fuck your shit. And I was like, oh, so we gonna die in here. Okay, gotcha. Like, we're not going to make it. I was overworked, lacking social supports, missing my peoples, you know, as a lot of people experience, you know, deteriorating mental health and realize like I was really depending on alcohol, you know, then becoming desperate and trying other substances and was like, okay, I gotta get
cool. You was out here on shrooms. What the fuck are you talking about? Other substances?
Oh, no, girl. I did one edible and felt like I was on shrooms. Okay, bitch. These substances is not for me. I was in here tripping, hallucinating, seeing rats, just calling my son every 5 seconds, talking about, can you give mommy a hug?
Did you say seeing rats?
Like, bitch, I was seeing whole rats. Oh my Lord. It was so horrible. I had to call a friend to come get me because I was not going to survive in my house.
That's bad.
On that weed, okay? And that's after that, I was like, oh, we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do because obviously these substances ain't going to do it and alcohol ain't going to do it. So maybe we got to go to the other side. We got to try something else to cope.
That's funny.
So I think it was later in the year, like late October, early November, I set up a psychiatric appointment and my psychiatrist put me on antidepressants, and I instantly just felt like the way I would feel before. There's a period before hypomanic episodes where I just feel good. Not super good, but good. It's like, okay, I could do this. This feels like normal life. And that's where I was. And I felt, I remember like, and this is how I knew it was different because we were to vote. We were voting. I was voting for the president. Mm-hmm. And typically I don't take my son out because it is a lot physically to take him out. I have to get him ready, argue with him back and forth, get him in his wheelchair, especially if we're going long distances, mm-hmm. push that bitch wherever the hell we're going, mm-hmm. stand on the line to vote. He asking me 55 million questions. I never have the mental energy to do any of this, mm-hmm. but I remember doing it and just feeling like, oh, this is no big deal. And like, it was just different. Mm-hmm. Like it was the effort things usually feel like it took just wasn't there anymore. I just felt like I could do things. And with that, now being on my antidepressants for, let's say, 7 months on time. Something, and we used to talk about this and laugh about it, but something simple as lotioning after showering used to feel like a monumental event in which I would not lotion. I would not care, you know, I would not care for my skin. Mm-hmm. A bitch is lathered up each and every morning now, y'all.
Oh my God, a hydrated Akua. I'm sorry for making fun of you for being an ashy ass bitch. Meanwhile, it was your fucking cyclothymia. Look at me being an asshole.
It's okay. Because I did take it as a joke. But like sometimes, especially during the winter where, you know, cyclothymia meets SAD, you know, seasonal affective disorder, a bitch is not lotioning.
Yeah.
It's not happening. It's cold. I'm tired. It's dark. I'm not doing it. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. Like, but having like tight ass skin all the time, like just feeling like stuck in my skin, like it's cracking, it's burning, feeling not good, but also feeling like I cannot put things. This whole body, do you see a bitch? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot to rub on here. The whole thing, I could do a portion. I could give you a portion.
Yeah.
But no, the whole body from the face all the way down to the bottom of the feet. lotion through. A bitch be thinking about flossing now. I don't do it. We ain't get there yet. And that's only but because.
It's a thought.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start. I'm always like, I'm going to start after my next cleaning. I'm going to get a cleaning and then I'm going to start flossing. But also there's like a hand-eye coordination thing with that floss that I ain't really get yet. And I just want to invest in a water pick so that it's easier. So like one day I will be a flossing ass bitch. One day soon. It's here.
Fuck Jeff committed Bezos, to. But we got to get you an Amazon wish list for the fucking water.
Exactly. Help me out. But also, you know, in now being on my antidepressants, I'm able to be physically active. I remember like, especially the pandemic did not help because I work from home and I've been working from home since the pandemic hit. I would literally go 2 weeks without ever seeing outside, sitting in the same chair that I'm sitting now in the same room for 8-12 hours, go to sleep, do it again, and only go outside to grocery shop. Because I really don't believe in being outside if I ain't got a place to be. So like going on walks, what am I walking to? Like, so, you know, it was really bad for my body. Things would hurt. I was not moving, was like not stretching, not anything. And my antidepressants has allowed me to be a lot more physically active. Each and every morning, I'm up at 7 doing a very vigorous cardio workout. Like, I am moving. I am stretching 2 times a day. I've developed a skincare routine that I am adhering to. Like, a bitch is just new. Aww. Okay? Just new.
Play New Body by Nicki Minaj.
And it's also helped me, you know, focus on my diet and eating things. I'm no longer ingesting copious amounts of alcohol. I'm no longer living on popcorn and cereal for the day. A bitch is eating vegetables, varied vegetables, and cooking them bitches. Trying new recipes, eating couscous out here and shit. Like, tout this to the antidepressant because the last time I went grocery shopping, a bitch had to go to like 4 different grocery stores and, you know, just to get all the things that I need. And I did it happily. Like, it was a whole day. Whereas a depressant could, like, we gonna eat a Hot Pocket, bitch. Like, you can warm that bitch up. That's, you know, that's dinner. Like, I would save my spoons. I would save my energy to cook my child something. And I was eating a bowl of cereal or going without eating, which is horrible for my metabolism, horrible for my blood sugar. When I have a history of diabetes on both sides of the family with a parent who has been, you know, underwent amputation because of uncontrolled diabetes, like, I really got to think about my health long term. But I just didn't have the energy or the interest or the care to do so before my antidepressants. So now a bitch is out here eating and exercising and lotioning and is ready to hit the streets. I'm going to the streets this summer. Yes. And this is also what led to what I talked about at the top of the show, and that now that I had this energy to like take care of myself, I started looking into, you know, more into the link between probiotics as doing that research and depression, and knowing that I had come across that research. But there are small studies that show that, you know, our gut probiotics play a major role in the bidirectional communication between the gut and the brain. That signifies that probiotics are essential for people with depression. Now, again, this is not a Akua saying, if you're depressed, eat better. If you're depressed, exercise.
It's not no hood healer bullshit up in here.
That's not what the fuck I'm saying, you know. Because I would not be able to exercise or eat better without my medication. I would have been sitting here like, we gonna eat the Top Pocket. Like, so, like, that's it. We are going to have these potato chips and we are going to sit down. I would not be able to do that. So this is not me touting that. But I also have known that it has, I have noticed that in eating better, it has helped boost my mood even more. Like, it has added to what my antidepressants have been able to do for me. Have you ever ate like a heavy oily meal and just felt down?
Yeah.
So, you know, but we need the energy first. We need the, you know, the treatment first to be able to even get into that place sometimes. And again, you know, as a therapist, as a mental health professional. I have clients who do all of this and still cycle through depression. Every, you know, different things for different people. So I'm not sitting here touting that. Probiotics can be essential for people with depression, which remains a global health challenge. And one thing I learned in this study is that depression is classified as a metabolic brain disorder. Fancy words. I was like, what is a metabolic brain disorder? And a metabolic disorder occurs when abnormal chemical reactions in your body disrupts a normally functioning process, meaning that my brain does not produce enough serotonin or dopamine or norepinephrine or whatever the fuck it needs to keep a bitch balanced. And that's going awry.
Yeah.
So that is what that means. So there's one study that systematically reviewed all the existing evidence of the effect of probiotics, probiotic-based interventions on depression. And this meta-analysis of all of the existing study, again, quite small, showed that probiotics significantly decreased the depression scale for the participants. So the probiotics had a significant effect on both the quote-unquote healthy population, those not diagnosed with any type of mental, I don't like the word mental illness, mental health condition, as well as people with a diagnosis of major depressive disorder, as well as people under the age of 60. And I was like, all right, so everybody, what you're telling me is everybody can benefit from probiotics. Gotcha. All right. So that also informed my increased intake of these supplements and yogurt. A bitch eat mad yogurt, y'all. Like, I'm in here fucking it up on the yogurt. I even, at some point, I was like, I'm going to turn into a probiotic because I found these teas. It's a lemon ginger tea that's mad bomb, but also had probiotics in it. I was like, girl, how many more probiotics can you take?
I love a lemon ginger tea. Can you send me the brand?
Yes, bitch. I'll be out here looking for it. Ooh. Like so much that my Key Food carried it was out last week. I knew that Walgreens carried it. So the Key Food was out. I knew the Walgreens carried it. The Walgreens was out. And bitch, I was ready to cry. And then I went to BJ's and BJ's had a whole box of like 80. And you should have saw my face in that aisle, bitch. I was like, is that my, let me grab this tea. Like, holy grail. So yeah, that informed my intake of probiotics. And I feel like that has also helped me, just feel more balanced.
That's amazing.
In addition to my, nightly intake of my goddamn antidepressants, because every day at 8 o'clock, I pop that bitch. Okay. Like a Tic Tac. So I found that I'm still cycling, just not as intense. Well, I was still cycling just as not intense until I started to change my diet as well. So now a bitch is back to eating no meat. I am a plant-based, pescatarian, I like to say. So I'll have like seafood and shellfish, but most of the time it is fresh, non-processed food. So I'm in here chopping salads and lettuce and fruits and quinoa, and if it's made from a plant, I'm gonna eat it. Which has also helped because I've noticed one thing about me is that I carried a lot of inflammation in my body. Like every 3 years I would be in the hospital for some kind of infection that came out of nowhere. Doctors don't know what it is. Didn't make no sense. I can't even remember the years, but 1 year it was this like giant abscess on my ovary, and we're not even gonna go into the medical system again because you know them niggas be fucking up, but they tried to kill me and they kept telling me I had an STI, and I was like, no I don't, because my doctor got the papers and she said I don't. And you could test me again and I still don't got it, cure me. And they were like, but you can go home with 104 fever, fuck y'all. But then there was another time, and typically linked with stress, in 2017, where I just got a random infection in my colon. I had colitis and I didn't know what the fuck that came from. I was like, and never have answers, but I always have like this random inflammation in my body. And I've noticed that when I'm not eating meat, it subsides just, it's gone. Like, it's just gone. Like, when I'm not eating meat and I'm not having dairy, so I'm hoping I can stick to it. A bitch loves chicken wings and oxtails, and it's hard. Y'all not gonna sit here and coat cauliflower in anything and tell me it's chicken. Fuck y'all, no. So, you know, every once in a while I might pop one and feel the effects later, but really trying to limit my consumption of meat because it just helps me feel better in my body. Like, I even feel it in my knees. My Megan knees is back. I'm like, yes, go ahead. So I was still cycling until I changed my diet. I'm still cycling, but also at an even more decreased rate. And now I can notice, once I've made these kind of physical changes, that there are also mental and emotional changes I need to work on. Mm. And we're going to talk about that after Sam does this break.
Ooh, can't wait to hear about it. Well, is the conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? Is it helping you learn some new shit, helping you unlearn some old shit, or just allowing you to have a good ass time? I'm getting a resounding yes. Oh, shit. Well, we'd love to hear that. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, take a moment to subscribe or drop us 5 stars and leave a rating for the homies. We are at like 750 reviews on Apple Podcasts. Get us to 8. So my campaign is 8 by August. 800 by August. It's only 50 niggas. It's a lot more than 50 niggas who listen to this podcast. So get an Apple Podcast. Type in what you guys type in. It could just be good show, 5 stars. You ain't even got to say nine. G show. G shit. I don't know. Whatever you want to say.
If that might piss me off, though.
G shit, period. If you got a little extra change, you can drop us some cash in the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho. Or you can come join our Patreon community and access our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month and have a really good time while doing it by going to patreon.com/innerhouseuprising. Or you can just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to this podcast. It's a very good podcast. We thank and love you all for your continued support. Akua, the emotional changes.
Yeah. So here we'll talk a bit about dating, demisexuality, and depression.
Triple D.
And I focus a lot on my depression because it is what debilitates me. When I'm depressed, the fatigue I feel, I can't hold my head up. I literally have to lay down in between sessions. Like, I literally have to like lay down. Mm. Even if it's for 2 seconds, it like, I'm slumped. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not sleeping. But feel like chronically tired. I'm not eating. I'm irritable. I'm hopeless. It's not a good time. I'm, you know, not caring for myself physically or mentally. The bare minimum to stay alive because I have to take care of someone else. My hypomania isn't as bad as it could be. I just feel like it's like really, really high elevated self-esteem. I'm like, oh, I'm that bitch and can't nobody tell me nothing. I don't believe I could fly. I'm not jumping off of things. But it's also this impulsivity. So like my last manic episode, I just kept buying waist beads, y'all. And I have bought like about $75 to $100 worth of waist beads. I don't got that much waist. Like, where am I going to put them on? And I get fixated and I have to buy, like, I have to buy them. Mm-hmm. It's not as bad as, you know, and I don't want to quantify it, but like, it could be more severe. There are people who spend thousands of dollars, like their life savings in a hypomanic or manic episode. $50, I'm still within my like limits of like, all right, girl, you're not going to miss that. That's an Uber ride to Sam's house and back. Like, you be fine. But like, knowing that, like, girl, I don't need these damn waist beads. Like, I'll buy candles. Like, I will just, there's just an impulsivity that I can't help. But it's, you know, it's not detrimental. It's not as detrimental to my health as my depression is. So that's why I'm speaking more on that. Mm-hmm. So my most recent depressive episode, which had been a long time, like I think I went 90 full days just feeling good, stable. And my Apple Watch helps me to track it because I know I can tell by my move ring. Like, there's, if you have an Apple Watch, you know, it tracks your movement, it tracks your exercise, it tracks your standing. Mm-hmm. I will not move. And I'm not that sedentary of a bitch, but like, you can see it. I started to chart it that way. So I had went like a full 90 days, was feeling good. And then I've also been dating. So I've been out here on the apps getting this external validation, talking to niggas, feeling like, you know, trying to build a hotation. And then one nigga ghosted me.
Oh, yes.
And Sam, I can't hear you.
I was on mute. I was just like, oh, yes, because I'm now connecting this with my understanding of what's going on.
So this one nigga ghosted me. We had been dating, I literally want to say, for like about 6 weeks. Things felt like it was going in a good place. And then he just disappeared. That hit me, you know, as much as I want to say, oh, I don't give a fuck, there's another nigga around. That I realized that triggered. I have a history of like rejection and abandonment trauma that just like triggers. When people disappear in my life without like notice. Oh, that sets a bitch that I go spiraling. That sets a bitch off. And also, for anyone who knows anything about attachment styles, and I don't know if we did a topic on attachment styles, but we could do one. I am an anxious attachment style, which means that like I pursue. I need to like, I want to be under your skin. Like I just, and that's me in all relationships, friendships, romantic relationship, platonic relationships. Like if I feel like people are pulling away from me, it just does something in that I have to like claw and cling and like hold on to you, and it's very mentally distressing. But nonetheless, so I got ghosted, and I tried, instead of trying to, you know, address it like the therapist I am, you know, I hope my clients don't listen to this, y'all, because I be telling them one thing, be doing another. Bitch, I just be here lying.
Do as I say, not as I do, nigga.
Not as I do, okay. I like pushed it aside and continued talking to other niggas, but that like it fermented and like it grew and it like ate at me. And also it coupled with like just general burnout I was feeling. Like I had started working more hours at work to accommodate my clients as their schedule change. I just felt like in talking to a therapist friend of mine, I was able to kind of figure it out that like I felt like I was putting so much effort into things, into this dating life, into, you know, work, into, you know, maintaining friendships and not getting anything out of it. And that really left me feeling down and hopeless and like caused me to spiral. And when I realized that, I was like, oh, I need to get my ass back into therapy to work through some of this, have a place to unload it so that I don't, you know, I've gotten a handle on all of these physical things that can be impacting my mental health. Let me get on these psychological and emotional things that will be impacting my mental health. It's an all around holistic approach. I can't just continue.
Holistic. Also, probiotics. I've been holding that.
Probiotics. Hey. I can't just continue to pop my antidepressants without, you know, addressing all the factors that I can in making sure I am my best whole self. And what that really, you know, what I also in thinking and journaling on my own is that I have a deep-seated fear that I won't be in a long-term relationship with a person I actually like. And I don't even have the words.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you don't got the words for it right now.
Like, I just, like, sure, you know, I should not be putting romantic relationships on a pedestal, and I have long-term satisfying friendships. You know, I've known Sam since we came out the womb, like, and I like her, like, but I would like to be in a long-term relationship with someone that I'm passionate about, and I haven't had that in talking about demisexuality with the Bag Ladies and Jay. I realized that I had a pattern of falling into relationships with people that I didn't like and didn't know that because I was a demisexual, and just all I could verbalize was, I don't like this nigga, but he here, so cool. But on the flip side, I have a lot of failed and traumatic experiences with people that I really like that go nowhere. So it feels like I'm doomed to only have a long-term or successful relationship with someone that I'm not emotionally invested in or passionate about. And I don't want it to be like that. I want to like a nigga. Like, that that be nice? So when, you know, because I liked this particular gentleman and it was like feeling, you know, we had common ground. I was to the point where I was like sexually attracted to him. And that's big for me as a demisexual. Mm-hmm. Like there was a connection there. For him to just disappear was like validation of this thought, this irrational thought that like I will not have a long-term relationship with someone that I actually like. They will always leave. I'll only be able to catch a person I don't really like and have to settle for that. Mm-hmm. So that was also in there and led to this depression. But a bitch came out strong, okay? Came out.
Slit.
And, you know, I came out on the other side realizing that I need to get back on my BetterHelp shit and get me a goddamn therapist, like, to work through some of these things. And also to help me navigate, you know, knowing now that I'm demisexual, how that impacts my emotions, how that impacts my dating experience, how that informs my dating experience, and really, you know, that disclosure of demisexuality to partners. Mm-hmm. So like I feel like I don't have to tell them because, and I think I said this on that episode of Bag Ladies, is that I feel like I don't have to tell them because if I like you, I like you, we'll move forward. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, we won't. But I think this is me thinking that right now I'm currently dating cishet men, emphasis on that side because, but you know, everybody else, please hit a bitch up. I'm interested. I'm out here. But there's a part of me that feels like disclosing to cishet men won't matter because they're trash and they won't take that into consideration when they choose to ghost me. They're just going to ghost me. So what's the point of sharing it with them?
Hmm.
But I got to figure that out. I got to figure that out.
I have a question as it pertains to that. Sure, that might be the case. But would it hurt to disclose?
Oh, no. No, it will not. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Sam.
The roles are reversed, nigga. I'm the therapist now.
And that's literally me in therapy. But would it hurt? Just saying. They'd be like, you know what? It probably wouldn't. Aha. Let's try it. But yeah, I think, you know, there's one guy that I've been talking to heavily now, and maybe, you know, I think it's a good time to kind of talk about that and let it be known, like, hey, I'm invested in this kind of way. Mm-hmm. And if you not, let me know, like, upfront. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to burn your house down. I might think about it, but I won't. So, you know, just let me know so that I can handle my emotions a different way.
Let me know what? You know,
let me know where they're standing in the relationship at any time. Like, just come, always asking for the bare minimum. Communicate with a bitch. Like, just communicate. Mm. If you with it, you with it. If you not, you not. If it changes at some point, let me know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take my therapist hat off now, and I'm going to say good luck with that. Because in my experience, you can say that until your ass falls out, but people are like, they're cowards, honestly. So
yes.
Yeah. But I advocate for you disclosing your demisexuality. Yeah. And I would love for you to talk about that on the show, because what does that look like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now or at a different time?
Oh, you've done it already?
No, man.
Oh, no, yeah, at a different time, yeah. Like, when it happens, I'm curious, what are those conversations like? Like,
mm-hmm. what is it? And on the great insight I got from Jay on that Bag Ladies episode was that, like, how fragile the emotional connection I create with someone is, and that, like, and there's also something I didn't notice until Jay had, like, said it, and I, you know, thought about it and processed it. Like, there are, as a demisexual, at a point of conflict, that can diminish my feelings, and that we have to work to rebuild that.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that in other relationships, but, like, if we hit a bump, fuck you. Like, yeah. It's like, this should be the person you love. Like, okay, I can say this. Like, it always made me think that something was wrong with me because I've always heard the term of unconditional love, but it always felt like my love was conditional. And that unconditional love, like something was wrong with me and I need to strive to love niggas unconditionally. The only person I love unconditionally is my son, and he grown up, so that might change. Like, I can't even promise that to y'all. Like, I like him now, but it might be fuck him too. We don't know yet. Don't quote me. Like, But like, yeah, but there's also is a different dynamic between me and my son. There's a different, you know, there's different power politics there. Like, you know, there's nothing that he can do because he doesn't hold any type of power or emotional. What's the word I'm looking for, Sam?
I mean, I think just him not holding power of you is
good enough. Yeah, it's like that, you know, wouldn't affect it. I think it's the other way for him. But in a romantic relationship and even in a like a friendship, you know, that's different. You know, I'm more vulnerable in a different way in those relationships because of the power dynamics in those relationships. So when there is conflict, that shifts. And with that and being able to process that, I was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. You know, niggas are just, I don't know if I believe in unconditional love. I got conditions.
Yeah. Talk to me nice. I think that that's probably the most healthy approach and the most like grounded and real world approach.
And Jay mentioned like disclosing in that way because knowing that about herself impacts the relationship in that when there is conflict or there's a bump, we have to do additional emotional labor than most may be used to get us onto that path, or we'll lose it forever. So I thought about disclosing in that way when things felt more
serious,
quote unquote. Thank you. But yeah, maybe just the onset of like, hey, this is a bitch. And I mean, I do disclose in that I'll share that I'm queer and demisexual, and some people ask what that is, and I'll give like a perfunctory definition, and that's kind of like where the conversation ends. But maybe like really delving into about how that means in navigating relationship and connection with me is something I have to do.
Yeah. I also think that that's kind of or if I were you, which I am not, that would be kind of sure? sometimes it'd be too close, nigga. What the fuck? But like, that would be another thing for me. And just like, because not only are you, you know, shopping yourself out to people, but people are shopping themselves out to you. And if I say something like, I'm demisexual, and somebody's just like, okay, and they don't know what that means, it's just like, ew, you don't like me enough. Fuck you. Like, why are you not curious about
what that means?
Yeah.
And getting to know me. Yeah, I see it. All right, that's y'all. That's it, me, y'all. I'm going to pack it up. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for carrying this episode on your back for an hour and 18 minutes. You need a back rub, bitch, because I know that shit hurts. No. I ain't said a word, nigga.
You have put in valuable insights and background, you know, in the back of the scenes work that you always do. You will do the other half of the labor in editing this and putting it to the people, because if she left it to me, y'all wouldn't hear shit. I'm like, oh, my bad, y'all.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that was a very well put together episode. Thank you for sharing all of these things with us. And yeah, I'm very excited to see this wholer return journey that you are going to embark on, and I'm just very happy to see you happy and feeling good in your body and outside of your body and all that kind of stuff. I can't wait to see you in person in real life again. Remember when we used to do that?
Remember when we used to do that, bitch?
There was times where I would see it cool all the fucking time.
Every week, on the week, twice a week. I see Sam in a year. Exactly.
Well, but yeah, cool. Okay, and also if you relate to anything that Akua said, or if it resonated to you in any sort of way, or if like you were Akua a year ago or 6 months ago, how is your journey progressing? I'm very interested in this.
Please share with me. Write into us at ihupodcast@gmail.com, or DM me, or DM the IHU, and Sam will relay it to me. Yes, I don't check those DMs no more.
I do check them. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, or made you question yourself in a good way or positively move you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. And let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate every single last one of you.
Again, if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at In A Whole Uprising without the G on Twitter, at In A Whole Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching In A Whole Uprising Community. That is CUMMUNITY. And you can head to InAWholeUprising.com to pay a hoe. You guys, actually, I'll let you do this one, Sam. You guys can follow me, Aku, at Hey Aku Girl, on Instagram, Twitter, apparently TikTok, but I'm not really there, and Clubhouse.
That'll be in the show notes. You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. Have a great week, because you motherfucking deserve to. And once again, Nikita is loved and deeply missed.
Ah, yes. Nikita Alizé.
Bye.
Bye.